I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, I'm going to be starting by telling the listeners all about the Cranky Rock Recreation Reserve Campground.
Yes, great place to stay.
Well, we've stayed there a couple of times.
We have, and there's a wonderful walk to actual Cranky Rock.
Yes.
Yes, and there's also a great 5 o'clock drinks around the fire.
Absolutely brilliant, that.
Now, oh, that's in winter.
That's in winter, but if the lass is there, she will bring around finger food too, doesn't she?
Yes, but I wouldn't guarantee that all the time. I wouldn't
guarantee that all the time, no. And especially if the hubby's on, he's definitely, he'll bring you the wood, but he won't prepare finger food for you. And then straight after that,
you're going to be talking to John from Wade Horses in Bingara.
Right. And then after that, this is a little different. You are actually going to be chatting with Dawn from the Cutting Horse Farm Stay, and that's just out of Tamworth.
Yes, that's right. And then you're going to be chatting to Kerry Kelly, the president from the Tara Camels and Cultural Festival.
Very interesting. I've got to tell you, that Camels and Cultural Festival is a must-see. And even if you're not a gambler, you're going to have a lot of fun watching those jockeys try and control those crazy camels.
Oh, okay.
And then straight after that, Lynn, I'm going to be chatting with our regular speaker, Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight, and he's going to be telling us all about his fabulous business, Checkweight, which is now available for franchise.
That sounds good.
Okay, now people are actually buying into this business because he cannot keep up with the volume of customers that he has in his area.
That's good.
Now, apart from all of these wonderful chats and discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon?
On with the show.
All right, listeners, now I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Cranky Rock Recreation Reserve, okay? Cranky Rock, there's a turnoff. Now, it's 5 kilometres east of Warialda on the Gwydir Highway. The 3 kilometre sealed road will take you all the way to Cranky Rock, where you will find a jumble of giant boulders heaped in the most fantastic positions, caused, of course, by a past volcanic upheaval. Absolutely brilliant place to visit, okay? Now, there's features include a suspension bridge, there's bird life, a wildlife sanctuary, and a viewing platform. Facilities also include a picnic area, a large shelter, free barbecues, there's public toilets and a children's playground. Now, there's a full-time caretaker there, which is, as I said earlier, before we started the program, they run the camping ground, okay? Now, you can get, there's powered and unpowered sites. And as I said before, there's also hot showers available and toilets available there as well, okay? Now, the walking trails are established to suit either an easy stroll or a more challenging walk for the adventurous hiker, okay? The name Cranky Rock was derived from an old legend which said that an cranky old Chinaman, yeah, I kid you not, jumped to his death from the highest point of the Balancing Rocks after being accused of some wrongdoing. Now, visitors can go fossicking along the creek, and that's a beautiful spot to visit as well. And there are also signs of Aboriginal life, which can be seen within the nature reserve amongst the many plant life. Well worth visiting Cranky Rock, folks, but do make sure that you book ahead, okay? Most important. Now, just to give you a little bit more about the fees there, 2 people for a powered site per night is $20, and you can get a weekly rate of $115. Pensioners per night, 2 people, are only $15. Pensioners per week are only $85, okay? Now, that's for 2 people. Additional persons, okay, 12 years and up, for a powered site is $5. If you're interested in camping and not requiring any power, well, then you can get 2 people for $15 or $75 a week. Pensioners are $12 or $55 a week, and that's for 2 people, okay, on an unpowered site. An additional people up to 12 years of age, again, on the unpowered sites is only $5. Now, if you want any information about the Cranky Rock, please contact the caretakers, okay? Now, get your pencil and paper out. Get it ready. I'm going to give you a couple of numbers. You can get them on 02 6729 1402, or you can contact the Warialda Information Centre on 02 6729 0046. Hello listeners, Phil C here. We're still roaming Oz and we're in Bingara at Wade Horses Bingara with the owner of the establishment, John Wade. How are you this morning, John?
I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic, mate. It's a beautiful day here in Bingara. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to talk to us.
Happy to.
Fantastic. Mate, tell us about your business now. How long have you had Bingara Horses?
Oh, we started operating in 91.
Okay.
Which was a fluke because we got a backpacker bus come through and it was only they needed an activity and we were it.
Fantastic stuff.
We had horses, but we ended up doing a job for those people once they come through.
Absolutely.
And we just kept going from there.
Brilliant. Now, how many horses do you have?
Oh, we'd have 80 now.
80 horses. Fantastic stuff. And obviously all levels of horses, from beginners to real...
Oh, there's no really performance horses in them, but we've got those ones that'll, you know, that are just a nice horse that'll roll along for that better rider and not give them any grief.
Okay.
Can't have horses that are a little bit above anybody.
Okay, fantastic.
So we sort of, you never know who's coming, you see.
Okay.
But there's some nice horses there that are good quality horses.
And I understand you breed horses, is that correct?
Yeah, we've been breeding them all the way through.
Okay. So how many have you bred? How many have actually been born here?
Oh.
That you've bred yourself?
All of them.
Really?
Yeah.
So how many did you start out with?
Well, you always start with one.
Yeah, but I mean, you said you had a bus of backpackers come through.
Oh, yeah,
so
we would have had 10 to 20 horses here
to
start with.
And you got now 80.
We probably would have had 12, I suppose, when the backpacker buses, then we bought horses, then we've been breeding them from since then.
Fantastic. Mm. Absolutely brilliant.
If
so,
I do buy a horse, I'll buy a standard bred, because that's the best horse I can breed a horse from.
Okay.
And they can do this job without giving me any grief.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm very lucky to be able to put my hands on quality standardbreds.
That's great stuff. So what about the ability of your riders? Now, for example, what's the youngest rider you've had here?
Oh, four-year-old up the river.
Four-year-old?
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, that would be led out and led back.
Okay.
So that they're safe.
Morning.
Oh, here come some of the girls. There's some of your staff. Hello, ladies.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Now, what about the oldest rider you've ever had?
Oh,
unassisted.
We've had a, like Mother's Day, you might get the grandmother, the daughter, and the granddaughter.
Okay.
78, 80.
78 or 80.
Hmm.
There's hope for you yet, Lenny.
Yes.
Yeah, they're sprightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were good girls.
They're good girls?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Now, what about if you've never ridden a horse in your
Makes
life?
Makes no difference.
Makes no difference? Tell us how you deal with a person who's never been on a horse before in their
Well,
life.
We'll just go through our groups and we'll pick out our non-riders first, and then we put them on our extra quiet horses, and the people are matched up to the horses for their riding ability, and then we just go from there.
Okay.
But we'll also, our staff will go along and put a lead rope on anybody that's not feeling so confident, and they'll ride along beside them.
Okay.
And, you know, just teach them a few things. Quickest way to learn to ride.
Absolutely. So how long do you think they'd need that lead rope before they'd be confident enough to...
Oh, that depends on the person. Some people will go all the way out and all the way back. They're just never going to... They might have had a fright years ago, or they're just not that stable.
Okay.
It depends on the person.
Yeah, that sounds
a bit lovely. Usually we get around everybody and we go... And then the ones that don't want to be left off, we'll just lead them home.
Sounds a bit like you, Lenny.
Yes, it does.
She'd be fine.
Lynn's been on a horse a couple of times, and, I think we should come down here one day. Lynn, this place and John, they sound like he's definitely got the ability to turn you into a rider.
Maybe.
Now, what sort of rides do you do? Is it an hour's ride? What are the different...
Well, the one we're doing today is a four-hour ride up to what we call Bora Creek.
Right.
It's four, like two up, two back. And we'll have lunch up there, then return.
Okay.
But run of the mill, we just do two hours up the river.
Okay.
And they either go for a swim there where we pull up halfway, or they'll light a fire and stand around the fire. Depends on what they want to do.
Brilliant
Kids
stuff.
Love the fire and the water.
Absolutely. And you do longer rides too, I understand.
Oh, yes. Well, I've got a property 22K out, so we can ride from the farm back along the river to Bingara or vice versa.
Okay.
Great for the young horses that need a ride.
Need for a ride. Absolutely brilliant. And while you're on the ride now, is obviously you would separate your group, because there's some people, like I can ride and Lynn can't, for example. So would you break us up into groups and let us do our thing?
If you've got some quality riders or some that want to go a bit quicker, we'll just split those off with one of the staff, and I'll stay with the learners, and I'll send the staff with the better riders, and they'll go for a bit of a race about up there through the bush.
Bit of a race about.
We've got some really good tracks up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful up the river.
Okay.
It is, really.
So we don't get to see any Flintstones flying as we go charging down the side of the mountain.
No. I won't knock those ponies around. We're on our good tracks.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And so you don't do any overnight rides or campouts? Or?
Every now and then we will. Okay. It just depends on whether it's hot or cold or whether somebody wants to go. If somebody wants to do something, we'll do it.
Fantastic. We're pretty
flexible.
Very flexible. So
it's all fun.
I've got to tell you, and you did say that when you actually go out on a ride, you've got a leader, and then you've got somebody at the back, and there's usually about three.
Oh no, probably more. But we've got staff at the front, the back, and in the middle, and they're floating around looking for somebody that might have their reins wrong, stirrups wrong.
Okay.
Anything that needs adjusting.
Okay.
They're there to, you know, just to keep everything right.
Fantastic.
So, you know, they're constantly riding around just to see if everything's okay.
Okay. So what sort of riders do you get? Is it mainly the local people? Do you get a lot of tourists come through here going on rides?
Our business has changed. We were dealing with backpacker buses.
Okay.
They're not about anymore. But we're just getting the families that are travelling inland. They're everywhere now.
Absolutely.
And our business has changed a lot because of that.
Yeah.
So mum and dad and the kids or grandmother and the kids and, you know, it's a good job.
Yep.
I love this job, mate.
You love this job, I can tell. I can tell by that smile on your face. I guess, just a silly question, like when we had all the issues with COVID last year, I mean, 1.5 metres apart, did that affect you in any way or no?
Well, we shut down.
You shut down, did you?
Yeah,
really?
We shut down completely, and then once we got going again, once they opened up the river to campers, it didn't really worry us too much. We had a limit of under 20,
yes,
and we stuck with that. So that's, you know, that's a good group anyway.
A good group's 20. So what's the largest group you've ever taken?
Well, people will think I'm telling lies, but we took 72 horses out one day and 73 the next, back when the backpacker buses were really busy.
Wow.
We had a heap of stopovers. We had a 50-seater bus in and a 20-seater bus, so we pulled 72, 73 horses out of that day, or those 2 days.
That's incredible. I don't imagine 73 on a ride.
But were they great horses, because they work 5-6 days a week, and they were good old educated horses. Jeez, they're beautiful.
Yeah?
They were a great team.
Yeah.
Great team horses.
So what's the life expectancy of a horse in a place like this?
Do this job here,
yeah.
26 or 7, they start to trip over after that.
Okay.
And then, you know, their ability to get up after tripping mightn't be that great, so we don't use them. Just return, like, let them go out on the farm or we give them away.
And what would be the youngest horse that is suitable to ride?
We don't use them until they're 4 or 5 year old.
Okay. So 4 or 5 years, you just got to feed and fatten them up.
Oh, well, they might be ridden out the farm where I live out on the farm, so we'd ride them out there, and then... Okay. The girls, like this young lady here,
yes,
they'll ride them, but if they're not a good horse, he won't get a job.
No.
We've got a nice little coloured filly down the back there now that's just getting... She's had one ride outside and she'll go today.
Okay. So what do you mean by not a good horse?
Anything that wants to hurt somebody.
Oh, okay.
Or wants to go too fast or shakes its head or, you know, agitated.
Okay.
He's got to be a good, quiet, safe...
Yeah,
of course. A good walking horse.
Absolutely.
You know, good temperament.
Absolutely, because it's obviously safety's paramount to everything.
Oh, safety's everything.
Yeah.
Most importantly, safety's everything.
Absolutely. And your years with working with horses, breeding horses, you obviously know what's suitable.
Oh, well, what we breed here is we cross the standard bred mares with heavy feathery leg stallions and slows them up, and they're a great horse for this job because they're thick skinned and very good doers.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
They do a good job, these horses.
And how many rides are you doing today? Because it's a beautiful day.
We're only doing one big one today.
Just one big one? And how long is that?
We'll be 4 hours.
4 hours today.
Yeah, we'll leave about 10:30 and then we'll be back about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Fantastic stuff.
But it's beautiful up the river there now.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. All right, John, well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Mate, it's been really wonderful to meet you and have a look at these fantastic horses you've got here. For anybody interested, listeners, in doing a horse ride in Bingara, definitely you've got to check out Wade Horses, okay? Now, I'm going to play you a song, John. It's got to be Aussie.
Righto, mate.
Who's your favourite?
Oh, give me a bit of Jimmy Barnes, mate.
Jimmy Barnes. Mate, you look like a working class man. You're wearing your hat, you got your boots on, your dryer bone coat. How about we do working class man for you? How does
mate,
that sound?
Mate, that sounds lovely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, John.
Good on you, buddy.
Good on you, mate. Stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz straight after Jimmy Barnes' Working Class Man.
Okay, it's Lynn here, and welcome back to Roman Oz, and I'm with Dawn at the Sunrise Cutting Horses and Hillside Farms Day. How are you this morning, Dawn?
I'm lovely, a beautiful day.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Was a chilly night, though, I must say. Yeah. Had to have the heating on.
Yeah, that's Tamworth.
Yes, it is. So now, can you tell me, what is a cutting horse?
Cutting horses are bred to work cattle.
Yes.
And they're a bit like, genetics is like a border collie. They're attracted to movement.
Right.
And the competition is, they cut a cow out of a herd.
Yep.
And they've got two people turning back to help them, two people holding the herd. And that shows what the horse can do without the rider's assistance.
Right.
Naturally wants to keep the cow away from the herd, so that's cutting a cow out of a herd.
Okay.
Cutting horses.
Right. So who uses your horses? So people come and buy them, do they?
People come and buy my horses. They've got colour in them as well. They're all cutting genetics, but they've got colour in them as well. And people buy them for camp drafting, for rain cow horse, for reining, for cutting, for ranch sorting. The events that have cows in
right,
them.
Okay. Yeah. So they obviously appear at rodeos and everything as well.
They could, yes. Some people have used them for, actually we've got some out there that's barrel racing, and some that have used them for roping.
Oh, okay. How interesting. So have you been around horses all your life?
I have. Yes.
And
except for the time I was overseas.
Yes.
I spent 15 years in Canada inseminating cows.
Right.
And working in feedlots. So,
oh, how interesting.
I was still around the cow thing.
Yes.
But I didn't have horses because, you know, I was too busy.
Yeah.
I had dogs. I bred stock dogs.
Right, okay.
So I was trialling dogs in the States in my spare time and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
So you're a real country woman at heart.
Definitely.
Okay, and you've been around...
Farmer's daughter, for sure.
Oh, right. So you've been around this area, or...?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So Tamworth's your home.
Yes, educated in Tamworth.
Yep.
And my father had a farm on the Liverpool Plains.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, and you married a farmer.
No, he's not. No, he was in earth moving construction in Canada. He's Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And my son's Canadian.
Yes.
So he's working in Brisbane at the moment.
So you brought them back here to Australia?
Yes.
For a better life.
1990 we came back. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, how wonderful. So we'll get back to your facilities here, your Hillside Farm Stay. So how long has that been operating for?
I'm not sure how many years we've done that. At least 10.
Yeah.
We had somebody come and phone us and say, can we park in your front paddock for the night with the caravan? And we said, fine, no problem. And they put us on wiki camps, and we've been trying to catch up ever since.
Oh, really?
Facilities and everything.
Oh, okay.
We had nothing until they came and put us on wiki camps.
Really?
People started turning up.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's how I found you on wiki camps.
Yeah,
we were doing some Googling and thought, well, you want something a little bit different for a change.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is nice.
We met some just wonderful people.
Yeah.
Just fascinating what they do and how many years they've been on the road.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, the education they've had and people from overseas. And just wonderful.
Oh, that's good. So how many people or how many travellers can you accommodate?
Well,
or how many have you had here?
We've got, I use 100 acres for the travellers. I mean, I say just pick a tree, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
There's lots of room.
Yes.
So... I think Hip Camp has us down as 100 sites, but we don't have any sites as such. But you know, when we get 30 vans during country music, we can put them in the front paddock under the trees where it's flat. And
so you're popular then for the country music.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've got the booking sheet going.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, what facilities do you provide?
We've got a flushing toilet. We've got a long drop toilet. We've got two showers, one indoor and one outdoor. And everybody prefers the outdoor one, showering under the stars.
Yes, I must say I had mine early, so it wasn't dark, but I didn't get to see the stars, but it was quite exhilarating being out in the fresh air.
Everybody loves it.
Mind you, listeners, there is corrugated iron around it, so you are not exposed.
That's right. Just has no roof.
No roof.
And the sunshine gives you a tan while you're showering.
Yeah, exactly. So for those that are interested in doing a farm stay, where are you located, Dawn?
Well, we're about 8 minutes from CBD of Tamworth.
Wonderful. So
just
you're nice
really
and
close. Yes. And although we do have traffic going into Tamworth morning and night, we're fairly quiet at night time.
Yes.
And, yes, it's 6 minutes to go to town, no problem.
Oh, that's good. Nice and handy, especially for the Country Music Festival.
Yes.
I'll remember that.
Yes.
Okay, so there you go, listeners. The Sunrise Cutting Horse and Hillside Farm Stay for something different. The website's sunrisecuttinghorses.com.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dawn.
Okay, and you find us on Wikicamps and HipCamp.
Yep, Wikicamps. That's where I found you.
Yep.
Wonderful. So, Dawn, what song can we play you?
I like country.
Yes.
Anything country is fine.
Anything country?
Yeah.
Well, how about something with a little bit of a horse in it? And we'll do the Man from Snowy River with Slim Dusty. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds okay.
There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, and the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse or man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, for never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. And he learned to ride while droving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling, on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse undersized, with a touch of time or pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, that horse will never do. For a long and tiring gallop, lad, you'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you. So he waited sad and wistful, lonely Clancy stood his friend. Oh, I think we ought to let him come, he said. And I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end. For both his horse and he are mountain bred. Oh, he hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hooves strike firelight from the Flintstones every stride, and the man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home, where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but no way yet such horsemen have I seen. So he went, they found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow. And the old man gave his orders, boys, go at 'em from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try and wheel them to the right, and ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills. For never yet was rider that could keep that mob in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills. So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with his stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-beloved mountain full in view. And they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread. And
the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where Currajong and mountain ash grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, "We may bid the mob good day." No man could hold them down the other side. When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer. And he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. Oh, he cleared the fallen timber in his stride. And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy box and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went. And he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of the terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain standing mute saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges. Oh, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur, but his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide. Oh, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride.
Oh, g'day, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz, and I'm at the Tara Festival of Camels and Culture with the President, Kerry Kelly. How are you today, Kerry?
Hello, good, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, first of all. I know you're an extremely busy person. I see you riding around on the trike, and every time I try and wave at you, you say, "I'll be with you in a minute," and of course, you don't have time to stop.
No.
You must have a huge amount of responsibility here doing this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to troubleshoot here, there and everywhere.
Yep.
I'm just the one in front of an amazing crew of people that I'm working with. They just make it easy for me, yeah.
And how long have you been the president?
So this is my first year as president.
Wow.
Usually I'm just sort of go to the committee meetings and... but yeah, this has been my first year and I'm loving it.
But you've been working with the festival before you've been the president. How long have you been involved with the festival?
I used to go to the committee meetings, try and help out here and there if they needed help anywhere.
So how long has the event been running?
So this is our 11th event.
Right.
We have it biannually.
Yes. So why is it a biannual? Why not every year? Because... It's a fantastic festival. Why not every year?
Yeah, well, because it's a fantastic festival,
yes,
it takes us, yeah, around about 12 months to get something like this organised.
12 months
up and running. Yeah, it's a big job.
It's a huge event.
Yeah, probably the last, you know, with last, yeah, 6 months.
Okay.
Is when, you know, we start meeting a lot more regularly and organising, getting the organising down pat.
So what about the idea? Now, where did the idea come from?
Originally, I did work for the lady that originally started the idea, Mary Youngbury. I worked for her at the Modern Trend.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Wayne Bishop, yeah, they come up with the idea.
So was the idea initially just for camel racing? Because they did camel racing here as well as have this multicultural event.
Yeah.
So was it initially, let's do some camel racing, and then these other things came after?
No, I think back at back in the day it was, it was both camels and culture.
Okay. And how many do you think, because it's been running now for a couple of days, we're on our last day now, how many do you think have come through the gates? Approximately,
we would think probably about 10,000 over the whole weekend.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. And you've also got, like, lots of people who stay for the entire event because you do organise glamping tents. People can bring their own swag, tent, caravan, motorhome, bus, whatever. So how many sites do you have? Approximately, would you know how many sites?
Yeah, so we usually have around 2,000, but because of the weather this year...
Okay.
We did have to reduce some of our sites. So I think overall, I think we could have maybe about 1,800.
1,800 camping.
Yeah.
But normally you'd have...
Normally we'd have a
over 2,000.
Yeah, roughly.
But the rain kind of upset some of the sites.
Yeah, we had 2 inches of rain, you know, just over a week ago. So that dumped a lot of water here. We're already wet on the ground, so we had to reduce campsites.
Okay, so being multicultural and having it run for 11 years... Do you have any idea what you think you're going to have next year? Because this year you had Korean theme, you had Calypso, and there was Polynesian, and of course you had these fantastic country entertainers. You had the Wolf Brothers, and you also had James Johnson and DJ Bucks at the end of the night. So what about the cultural part? Like next year, for example, have you got any ideas, or still a bit early to tell?
Probably still a bit early. Not sure if our... entertainment coordinator Jess would have
anything
lined up yet, but she does do an amazing job.
Oh,
I've got to say,
fabulous.
We try to mix it up. We don't,
yes.
You know, it just depends what's available at the time.
What's available at the time for the booking.
Yeah.
But and also apart from the entertainment, apart from the multicultural themes, you've also got market stalls in there. You've got vendors with some fabulous souvenirs to take home. Food galore. I mean, multicultural, you've got everything in where food's concerned. So you've really put a lot of thought and planning into this. And, I can understand why it's only once every second year.
Yeah. It is a big thing to get organised. It's good to see that we haven't run out of food, so that's a good thing.
Fantastic. All right, Kerry, look, I won't take up any more of your day. I know you're an extremely busy person. Before I wind this up, I'm going to play you an Aussie song. Who's your favourite Aussie singer?
Keith Urban. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite Keith song?
All of them? Yeah.
Kerry, leave it up to me. I'm going to play you something really special for you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Kerry Kelly, folks, and that is the Tara Festival and Camels and Cultural Event here in Tara.
Small glass of tea. to coming on.
Some days you gotta dance and live it up when you get the chance. Cause when the world doesn't make no sense and you're feeling just a little too tense, gotta loosen up those chains and dance. Get the chance, cause when the world doesn't make no sense and you're feeling just a little too tense, gotta loosen up those chains and dance. You gotta loosen up those chains and dance. Come on, loosen up those chains and dance.
Seventh Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Hello, listeners. Phil C. here. Roman Oz is the name of the show if you've just joined us, and we're at that part of the program again where we get to talk to Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm going really well, Phil. Thanks for asking. And how are you going today?
Oh, mate, I'm having a great time. It's always great fun talking to you, educating me on all the different things in relation to weights and things, you know, caravans, motorhomes and so on and so forth. We did mention that we were actually going to talk a little bit further about your business, though, because your business, Checkweight, because your volume of customers is starting to grow, you're starting to struggle a bit in your particular area. We were discussing franchising. Now, is that true? Are you actually going to go out and franchise now?
Well, it's more than true, Phil. We've actually got our first franchisee.
Wow.
Jason has opened up in Sydney in October.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah, so how does the franchising side of it work? Like, you wouldn't want to just hand me a set of scales and say, go out there and measure a caravan. What's involved in franchising where Checkweight's concerned?
Look, it's quite involved, and the journey for me started pretty well 2 years ago.
Right.
And I've been operating for 3 years.
Okay.
And, I suppose when I turned up to do away for people, people started saying to me, you know, is this a franchise? You know, because this is a really good idea.
Mm.
And I said, well, and I just jokingly said, no, not yet.
Mm.
And then I got busier and busier. And, you know, when you had a bit of time off during COVID lockdowns and then, you know, the boom in caravan sales.
Yes.
Thought, this is a franchisable business, you know,
okay.
Because I can only do what I can do.
Right.
And so I started doing the investigations. I went to a franchise expo in Sydney and then, yeah, got a solicitor through my accountant and started preparing the franchise agreements. And there's a fair bit of work and there's also a fair bit of expense in doing that.
Okay.
But it's quite enjoyable. So essentially, if you think of McDonald's as probably the biggest franchise chain,
yes,
you systemize your business and so that, you know, somebody basically can come in, be trained on what I do, and using the same advertising and branding and the website and things like that, get a kickstart in their own business rather than trying to learn it all themselves.
Okay, fantastic. So you said that you've decided to franchise because obviously the volume of people, and this is just not obviously a flash in the pan, it's that the caravan industry is growing and growing and growing. And I did have a discussion some weeks ago with the Option RV group in Lightning Ridge, and they said they're getting an average of 30 new vans to their membership every 12 months. When you think 30 of one brand every 12 months, you can only just imagine how large the RV industry has become over the last few years.
Well, I saw an article the other day, and somebody made an estimate that there is at least a million RVs now. So when you talk RVs, you're talking motorhomes,
yes,
camper trailers, you know, caravans, mm-hmm, of all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
So a million, that's like it's a phenomenal number.
It is.
And when I started weighing, I think there was about 9 or 10 weighers around Australia. I mean, I didn't invent the idea.
Yes.
But I think I'm sort of one of the ones that's made it a full-time business. There's a few that are just, you know, doing it on weekends and as a hobby.
Okay.
And you know, good on them. But, you know, this is my business. This is how I pay the mortgage,
right,
put food on the table and put petrol in my boat if I ever get to take it out.
sounds like a lot of fun. So how many do you do? Like if somebody was interested, for example, one of our listeners thinks, hey, you know what, I wouldn't mind doing a franchise, how many vans do you sort of do on a weekly basis?
Well, when you mentioned this, I do my sums and I keep, you know, pretty good figures. So since I started, which is just 3 years ago, I've,
yes,
done 583 caravan and vehicle combinations.
Wow.
So I'm just about to tick over 600.
Uh-huh.
I've also done, you know, quite a few motorhomes and, you know, boats and other vehicles and combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 583 now, we've had two lockdowns in,
yes,
that period.
Yes.
And I also had, as I probably mentioned, a few months off when I had my total knee replacement.
Right.
So, you know, there's sort of probably 6 months in that 3 years that I didn't actually work full time.
Okay.
So I tend to book in around anywhere between 7 or 8 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of my knee. You know, I limit how much I do.
Yes.
Jason in Sydney's already doing 3 some days.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a 2-hour job plus, you know, allowing for a bit of reporting and a bit of travel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite easy to do 3 in a day if you don't have to travel too far.
Yep.
But, you know, it depends on your fitness and age, I suppose.
Yes.
And with my knee, I sort of generally limit myself to about 2 a day and work 4 days a week.
Okay.
But I have done, you know, as many as 4 in a day, but they're all at the same place.
Okay. And when you think a weigh is around about $300 or $350 or something, is that right?
We charge, check weights charge is $350 for a dual axle and a vehicle and $300 for a single axle.
Okay.
And the vehicle. But our process is fairly involved as well. And I think we've mentioned before, some people are doing it cheaper and don't have the full information and education that,
yes,
we do.
Yes.
And I suppose that's the advantage of buying into a franchise, is that I've had, you know, 583 ways, that I've done and 3 years of marketing, you know, check weight. So, you know, you're buying into that brand, you're buying in, you don't have to create your own website, you don't have to create your own Facebook page, those sorts of things. I mean, I've got more likes and more followers on my Facebook page than any of the other caravan weighers in Australia.
Wow.
So okay, if your listeners want to add to that, it's check weight. NSW for New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go on and like it. And we provide lots of, you know, free information to people. You know, we write blog articles, we have posts on our Facebook page, and, you know, we have links and, you know, I do lots of interviews with this great guy called Phil from Roman Oz.
Yeah. Well, you've taught me a lot of information, I've got to tell you. I've learned so much in the last, I think we've been together, working together now for probably about the last 4 months or something. I can't remember. It's just gone so quickly. But in that time frame, I have learned so much that it's like it's a pleasure to have you on board. And I'm sure my listeners, a lot of them find the subject a little bit daunting, but I think the fact that they can listen to these programs back on podcast gives them the opportunity to really digest. And I'm glad that you're a part of Roman Oz, that's for sure. But can I just ask you, like, I originally found the subject very, very daunting, and so do a lot of people now. And there's so many people out there who think they know what they're doing with their weights and everything, but they don't actually. So to become a person like yourself, franchising, working for their own business, they've obviously got to get their facts and figures spot on. So is it something that the average Joe can really learn? Because, you know, a lot of people seem really confused and stare at me when I try and tell them what I know. And if I was trying to charge somebody $350 to give them that information, I'd want to really have it 110% down. So is it easy to learn? Does it take a long time? How do they go about that side of it? Haven't been school for a week with a blackboard and a cane to wrap them across the knuckles if they don't get the math right?
Lots of theory and lots of practical.
Okay.
You know, so with Jason, we've gone through lots and lots of theory. So, yes. You know, I have processes. So this is how you do away.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, you know, just to explain, you know, away is sort of, you know, four sections.
Yes.
The first section is our setting up. So making sure you've got the way pads right and the, you know, we're safe and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, get all your compliance and your tear weights and your GVMs and your ATMs and everything correct.
Mm-hmm.
Then we weigh. So yes. That's the second part of the process.
Yes.
And then we explain the weights in regards to the total and the caravan.
Yep.
And then we talk about the vehicle. So it's sort of a four-stage process as we go through.
Okay.
And, you know, the advantage of having, you know, a franchise is that, you know, when I started 3 years ago, no one showed me. It was my own research that I'd done, you know, previously in wanting to travel around Australia, as I think I've spoken about.
Yes.
So, which we then never ended up actually, well, we haven't done yet. And so the information that I have in my head now, you know, I've given to Jason now. So I've kickstarted him, his knowledge by about 18 months, 2 years.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what I know now.
Of course.
3 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the benefit of buying into a franchise. You're getting all that knowledge and experience pretty much handed to you on a silver platter.
And it's hard for, you know, somebody who's just going to, you know, check their own van, you know, to do the hours of research that I've done.
Yeah.
Because if I do 4 hours of research on a particular subject,
yep.
Then I get to use that every day.
Yes.
And impart that knowledge. Mm. Whereas, you know, as a caravan owner, you don't get to impart that knowledge.
Yep.
So, and there's nothing like seeing real weights and getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I've said, you know, people have said to me, just by moving 30 kilos from a particular place in the vehicle to another place,
yep,
they've seen their steering significantly better.
Yeah,
I get that feedback, then I can pass that on to other people.
Other people, yeah.
I got a comment the other day from somebody that, and you know, remain nameless, they got weighed, and the person, they had no issues, and the person who weighed them suggested a whole heap of things. They changed things, and their caravans weighed all over the place.
Oh, wow.
So you need to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very careful on the advice that I give,
yep.
And it's a matter of making sure you do one thing at a time, because if you change five things then and it's worse, well, what made it worse?
Of course.
So I'm very careful on what we tell people, and because everybody's situation is different.
Yes.
And that's probably something else we can talk in a future podcast, actually, is I call it, you know, fixing one thing and creating
another
problem elsewhere.
Okay.
Or what I like to call shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic.
That's a good idea, shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic, and hope your boat doesn't hit an iceberg or fall off the cliff. Exactly.
So, yeah, but back to the franchising. You know, we've got Jason that's opened in Western Sydney, but he's covering all of Sydney at the moment,
uh-huh.
And he's also he went down to Goulburn the other day, and he's been up to the Central Coast as well. So anybody in that Sydney area, we've got somebody dedicated for you now.
Yes.
And I'm talking to a couple of people in the Newcastle area, which is my area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, established business and clientele.
Yes.
And the other thing we've done as well is trained people, Adrian Beck and Beck, were from Newcastle originally, but they were travelling around Australia and they bought themselves a set of way pads.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to travel around Australia for 5 years.
Right.
So they couldn't buy a franchise and mm-hmm. they weren't going to open up in competition to me. So, no. Yeah, I gave them the intensive training to kickstart their business.
Fantastic.
And the first month after their training, I actually had so much business that I referred 15 people to them that I couldn't do.
Okay.
And, you know, the advantage of that is, you know, that they can ring me and I can ring them, you know, if we've got issues or questions that we haven't come across before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that little network. And you know, Jason and I talk every day, you know, and he's 80% of what he needs to know I've taught him, and then the other 20% is questions that you, you know, come across in the line of your business. But okay. He's got a history in, you know, compliance and, you know, weights and being around trucks and, you know, road building and things like that. So he's he's had a van for, you know, 15 or 20 years as well. So he had a really good head start on his knowledge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm really excited for the growth of Checkweight. I want to grow it firstly in New South Wales, but if there's somebody interstate who's looking to, you know, buy into a business and grow a business, mm-hmm. I'd be happy to talk to them about owning the state, you know, to manage the state. I don't want to manage 50 people.
Yes.
You know, if somebody in Queensland wants to start a business and be a sort of like a master franchisee in Queensland or Victoria or South Australia, be happy to talk to them.
That sounds great. Sounds absolutely fantastic. And when you think about between $300 and $350 away takes about 3 hours, you're on $100 an hour. And if you do two or three of those a day, you're making $1,000 a week. So it sounds like a very interesting business, listeners. If you're interested in possibly becoming your own boss and owning a franchise in such an important area, which, of course, is the RV industry, really, isn't it, Chad? Caravans, motorhomes, and there's a million of them on the road, so there's a million prospects to make a lot of money if you decide to buy one of these franchises.
But not only that, you know, it is, I mean, you can make your own hours, you can work 3 or 4 days a week, but also, you know what, you meet interesting people.
Absolutely.
You know, caravan as a whole are very interesting people, you know, because they travel, they see different things,
yes.
And they like that. You probably haven't realized that.
I haven't been able to travel much, but I do intend to hit the road in January for 6 months, so I'm sure I'll meet a lot of interesting people like I've been doing for the last X amount of years. Mate, I've got to wind this up. I think it's a fabulous idea. I'm glad to see that, you know, Checkway's growing to the point where you're now needing franchise. You know, I hope to think that, you know, a little bit of Roman Oz has helped to put that in the minds of people, the importance of making sure you, if you are going to shift the deck chairs on the Titanic, make sure you shift them to the right spot.
We'll talk about that in a few weeks.
We will indeed. How can I wind this up, Jeff? What sort of song would you like to hear today, my friend?
Look, I thought we'd go with How's That, Sherbet.
Why not? How's That? You've grown from a tiny business to a franchise. Stick around for more Roman Oz, listeners. We'll be straight back after Sherbet's How's That. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Phil. Have a great week and travel safe.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.